The plot against Jesus is truly tragic when we think about all the ways in which it could have been avoided in some sense. In order for him to be killed in the manner that he was killed, there had to be a moral failure on many levels. Many different groups had to betray him. If at any point someone would have stood up and said, "This isn't right, we should stop this," things would have been different. He would have been protected from the brutality and the hatred of the devil, and that was poured out upon him. You have the chief priests, right? The chief priests, the Sadducees, and the scribes. In some sense, their response isn't surprising. They've been at odds with Jesus throughout the whole gospel story. His claims to divinity, they've rejected. They see the signs, but they don't believe the signs. They don't make that connection somehow. They saw him only as a threat to their established order. "Will you accept the authority of Jesus?" Their answer was no. To quote from Scripture, the chief priests and the scribes were seeking a way to arrest him by treachery and put him to death. They didn't arrest him to put him to death legally, but by treachery. Deceit, trickery, corruption, these were the things they used to kill an innocent man. And next we have the apostles, right? You'd think the apostles, these guys, they're his friends. They've been walking with Jesus for 3 years. They saw the signs. They heard the explanations of what he was doing and what he was about. First Judas, right? Judas Iscariot allows his greed to move him to betrayal. Again, to quote from Scripture, "Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went off to the chief priests to hand him over to them. When they heard him, they were pleased and promised to pay him money. Then he looked for an opportunity to hand him over." What motivated Judas's actions? We may never know completely. We may never understand, but it certainly is a betrayal of trust and friendship. To be stabbed in the back by one who is closest to you. Friends. It's unthinkable. Unforgivable, we might think. And once the apostles were put in a tight spot, choosing between their own skin and Jesus, we see what happens, right? They don't choose Jesus. They choose themselves. And they left and fled, we read in Scripture. Peter, who just a moment ago was saying, "Even though all should have their faith shaken, mine will not be." That same night, just hours later, he says, "I do not know the man about whom you are talking." How wounding these words from the man who was supposed to lead your apostles. Betrayal, cowardice, treachery, unfaithful, ungrateful. Jesus' last hope for justice was the civil authorities, Pontius Pilate. But though he was willing to say that Jesus was innocent, he wasn't willing to do anything about it. He would not protect a man who was innocent. Rather, he allows the mob to have their way. Again, to quote from Scripture, "So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, handed him over to be crucified." How pathetic. This ruling class is no more masters of themselves than they are of the people. Injustice, corruption, dishonesty. Now, if any of these people had stood up for Jesus, he likely would have been spared. I wonder what Jesus felt. I wonder what he was thinking when he saw all these people, one by one, crumbling morally, allowing the devil's plan of destruction to work through them. There's no doubt that they had a hand in it, right? That they were the instruments of the devil. They collaborated with his work. They were overcome by their emotions, by their fear, their hatred, their indifference. Jesus found no one who had authority, at least, to stand up to the evil that was happening to him. And so he accepted his fate. He chose to die for us. He chose to give us a chance at redemption. The last words spoken in today's gospel account are spoken by a centurion, a Roman soldier, who witnessed the death of Jesus. They're heartbreaking in a sense. Because all the other people in the Passion Narrative, they should have been the ones to recognize Jesus for who he was. Whether it was because of their learning, or their friendship, or just the fact that they were in a place of authority. But they didn't. They didn't see him. The Jewish people and the leaders, in particular the apostles and his friends, the Roman governor, any of them should have had a better perspective to recognize and act on behalf of Jesus, even if they didn't believe his claim, at least to know that he was innocent. But no, none of them did. It was this Roman soldier who saw Jesus die. He was the one who recognized the Son of God. Again, to quote from Scripture, when the centurion who stood facing him saw him, how he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." Friends, we must learn to see with the eyes of faith. We have to learn to see with the eyes of faith. We cannot allow our hearts to be closed by our emotions, our fears, our hurts, our experiences. We can just as easily miss Jesus when he comes to us. We can easily betray him. So let's take a good, hard look at our hearts this week. Let's beg for the grace to suffer with Jesus rather than to turn our backs on him. Let's find a way to be with Jesus, even if it means we suffer with him. As we encounter the betrayal of whoever it is that betrays us, right? Society, our friends, our family, our coworkers, wherever we experience the betrayal around us in our world, wherever we find ourselves struggling to hold on to hope, know that we might not find it in this life. We might not find it in this world. We'll only find it in Jesus, who understands, because he's been there. So this week, I encourage each one of you to take time to be with Jesus this week. Whether you can come to the Triduum services or not, take time and spend time with the Lord. Be with him. He has something to share with you this week. Take some time to find out what that is.